Well, I think a couple things here, just recapping after last Saturday's ball game. You know, I think obviously there's a level of frustration for us all. You know, we all get into this to ultimately want to win, and you want to play well in doing so. And, you know, what happened in the ball game with our inability to ultimately perform in the fourth quarter, there's a couple ways to go about it. We can dwell completely on what went wrong, or look at it also from the side of we played pretty good football for about two and a half, three quarters against a quality undefeated, you know, top 10 team. So I think the promising part for us is, you know, we're plenty capable to compete at a very high level, which we've done now for two straight weeks against two top 10 teams. Had leads in the fourth quarter, and then ultimately didn't finish those ball games. So I don't think it's about our ability to coach. I don't think it's about our ability to execute and to play, because we've proven we're more than capable to do that. Now it's about our ability to sustain that and to do it at the critical moments, even after maybe there's some momentum swings that happen in the game. And so that's really been our focus and our mindset, making sure that players are reassured and understand that they're more than capable to perform at a very high level, that our coaches are more than capable to prepare them to do that. But ultimately, it's got to be down getting ourselves in the right frame of mind when we get ourselves close to the finish and having our ability to finish. And that finish is not, you know, superhuman efforts. It's about continuing to do the things that got us to that point, because obviously it was good enough to get us to that point with the lead. Now we needed to find a way to continue to do that. So that's really been the big picture scope of looking at it and really looking at it here for the first 7 weeks of the season. And so that'll be a lot of the things that we focus on here this week, not to mention getting ourselves healthy. You go with a seven straight week stretch. Clearly, you know, you can get banged up and beat up, and we've lost some guys for an extended period of time. We have some other players that obviously have the bumps and bruises. That's football. That's the way it goes. So both those things will be big components for us moving forward, and then continuing trying to find ways to develop our players so that they can be the best that they can be. I will say, you know, I really appreciate our fans. I thought the atmosphere Saturday was tremendous. Obviously, we had a really, you know, we had a big recruiting weekend, and for those kids that came in from out of town to see DKR that electric, I thought was a great deal for us, and we'll continue to be so. So, you know, for us, we're going to practice Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday this week, and then obviously as a staff, we'll hit the road recruiting Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then crank it up for Baylor next week.
Sark, I know you talk all the time you can't fix what happened before you took the job, but these are players that have been in a ton of one-possession games and haven't been able to finish. Is that a systemic issue that might take more than just what's left of this regular season to fix?
You know, I've never been a guy that has tried to wait to address issues as they present themselves. Sometimes you don't know maybe all of the issues, and maybe some of them were issues in the past that we don't deal with now, or maybe some of those issues don't rear kind of some of their ugly head until you get further down the road. You know, I've been talking to just a couple analogies. It's like you get a gift, right? And you open up that gift and you open it up, and it's a sleeve of, you know, it's a box of golf balls. And then you open up that box, and then there's the sleeves of the golf balls. And then you open up that sleeve, and it's not actually that brand of the golf ball that you thought you were going to get. And so sometimes you have to drill down. You have to peel back the layers to find out, you know, what potential issues you have, and then you address them as they present themselves. Sometimes we have different issues than maybe what were before. Sometimes some of those issues never show themselves back up, and sometimes they don't show up till we're a little further down the road, and that's our job as coaches to address them and continue to move forward. So you know, nothing that we've ever done since I've gotten here has been you know, lay blame on what has ever happened before. none of it's ever been, well, we'll just deal with that later, or he can't do this. It's dealing with the issues as they present themselves. And so we're presented with something here that I've said, I feel like we're plenty capable. And now it's about getting our players to understand, you know, one step after another mentality, and not worrying about what lies ahead or what's happened in the past, and just focusing on the task at hand. And that's that next play mentality that that we're really trying to instill in our team. I think we've shown we have the ability to do it, and we're more than capable physically to do it. Now we've got to put that into action moving forward in the second half of the season.
Steve, kind of building on that, I mean, what in your coaching past have you seen that works with guys who are addressing the mental issues of it? Because you're right, it's not a physical thing. It's clearly something going on, I guess, between the ears with guys. So where can you pull back on and say, okay, this worked in the past? And
well, like I mean, I do a lot of work in this area. I think this is probably one of the more underappreciated aspects of sport, right? I mean, I think the mental space of the elite competitors historically is something that is really what separated them, whether in any sport, football, basketball, baseball, boxing, whatever that is. I think in recent history, I'm definitely, you know, this is a portion of me that I believe in. It's nothing necessarily new in the way that we speak to our team and the things that we talk about. But there's obviously a shift in focus of, okay, this is an area where we need to improve upon. And so we it can't just be ho-hum, let's keep moving on. We have to do the necessary things to address it. And that started this morning in our team meeting. And so from a psyche standpoint, I feel like that's really kind of in our wheelhouse, because we've already laid a really good foundation for that in the 10 months that we've been here. So it wasn't like I've just been a rah-rah coach for 10 months, and then today I started to get into the psyche, and they were like, who in the heck is this guy? He's never talked about or talked this way to us before. So I think it's a natural progression for us. We've laid a good foundation, and now we've just got to dig deeper into that aspect of it.
Good morning, Coach.
Good morning.
A two-part question. The first part of it is Casey Thompson still your starter going forward?
Yes.
Okay. So the second part of that question, Coach, is when Hudson struggled after Arkansas game, you went and looked at the film and decided to go into a different direction. What's the difference here after maybe Casey struggled? You talked about the 7 three and outs here. What's the difference with your decision to go with Casey and stick with him as opposed to your previous decision?
I think Casey has, earned a little bit more of that right to work through some of those struggles. The week before he throws 5 touchdowns against Oklahoma. He had a 6 touchdown game against Texas Tech. So he's played and shown really good football to us. I think he's earned that opportunity to work his way out of this. Now we're still developing Hudson. And if that time comes, we need to make a change, we'll be prepared to do so, but we have all the confidence in the world in Casey that he can do that. But bigger picture, I think holistically it's us as a team. And then you pare it down, it's to us as an offensive unit, and same with the defense. And, obviously the quarterback, it's like anything. We choose to be a head coach. We choose to play the position of quarterback. And with those types of positions, when you win, sometimes you get a little bit more credit than maybe you deserve. And when you lose, maybe you get a little bit more of the blame than maybe you deserve. But that's okay. You got to understand the arena you chose to be in and to be part of. And you can't ride the emotional roller coaster of the up and down. You got to try to find that even keel. So I have all the utmost confidence in Casey that he'll bounce back and play great football for us.
Hey, Steve, I've asked coaches this in the past. I know it's a fraternity. When struggles happen, who do you go to for advice or counsel? Who's your Mr. Miyagi? And have you talked to Mr. Miyagi in the last couple of
weeks? I've talked to a couple different people. You try to look at things, from different perspectives sometimes. I mean, obviously, I have my perspective, and I really try to take a ground level view of things. You know, I really believe, and our players believe, I'm in the foxhole with them. So I try to have that perspective so that I can see it from the player's perspective. I also try to look at it from the 10,000 foot view, and what does it look like from that perspective? You know, I really try to do my best to look at it from a lot of different angles. But I do value some opinions of people that some of which are within our organization, some of which are looking at it from 10,000 feet. And, you know, when you start to hear a little bit of a common theme or some thoughts or maybe a way to address some of it, you know, I try to take those opinions seriously and then try to formulate a plan of action that is best to address our team moving forward. So, yeah, yes, I have.
Good morning, Coach Sarkisian. Morning, so you talked about fan appreciation. We were just 84 short of 100,000 at DKR, and it was a great crowd. What would you say to those fans who are not right now at DKR supporting the team, but they can while they're not in the stands, and it has that effect of echoing to the players and to the team, you know, that they are capable of winning, and they are, you know, lifting them up, putting wind in their sails?
No, I think, one, we've got an unbelievable fan base here, and the support has been tremendous. I recognize when you kick off at 11 a.m., that's not easy for everybody. Everybody's got other things going on in their lives. That, you know, obviously Longhorn football, it carries a lot of weight and it's very important, but other people have things going on. So 11 a.m. kicks aren't easy. And so to have that support was tremendous for our own players. I think we've got an exciting brand of football. I think we see the glimpses of what this thing can look like and what it will look like moving forward. I think we're very close. I'm excited for what this future holds for us. And I think as people get on board and really dive into this thing and really look at it, you know, wholeheartedly to say, you know, that brand of football and the way they're playing and the style of play, I get, hey, we make some mistakes and we do some things that, hey, I would love to have a couple calls back. That's no different than any other game. But the reality of it is the style in which we play, the excitement that is generated in DKR, what that does for our players, and then clearly what it does for recruiting and moving forward for the future of our program, it's tremendous. And we're greatly appreciative of the support that we get.
Made some switches on the O-line in-game.
Yeah.
You hadn't done that in the weeks prior. How do you anticipate mixing and matching in-game again going forward, and how would you assess how guys who made their first starts or first appearances did?
Yeah, we, you know, that was the plan going in. You know, Tope was making his first career start. So to think he was just going to go all four quarters, that probably wouldn't have been fair to him. So we wanted to roll Hayden Connor some in there with him. Getting Derek back at right tackle, I think, was helpful. I thought it was good for Derek. And then having a little bit of a healthy competition with Christian and Andre at left tackle, I think, was good. You know, ideally moving forward, Tope continues to kind of just gain that comfort level of playing and being more of just the consistent player at right guard. And then we're going to monitor the situation at left tackle as we go for the next 2 weeks before the Baylor game.
Do you have any updates on, you know, potential timelines for returns for some of the injured guys?
You know, obviously DeMarvion, you know, was a concussion. So those are tough to predict. I think we're fortunate in, you know, that you know, we have the bye this week, so we have some time until the next time we take the field. So but you know, concussions are what they are. You know, there's no, it's not a broken bone where you can say it's 6 weeks or something like that. They take on the, however it affects each individual. So we'll monitor that. You know, Keaton Crawford really be day to day as we move forward with him. And really the rest of the guys are surgery guys. So they're going to be out here for a little bit.
I know it's a little complex because you have Bijan and Roshan, but do you want to get Keelan more involved offensively because of the speed he brings, and how do you balance out that with the other two running backs?
Yeah. We visited about that as an offensive staff, you know, really right after the game, and then even yesterday. You know, it's a fine line. You know, when you have such a quality player in Bijan and what he provides for our team. You know, he obviously is an electric player. We see it every Saturday and what he can do. But we also have seen glimpses of what Keelan has brought to the table. Even the, you know, some of the few snaps he got Saturday, the impact that he had. So, you know, we're always trying to evolve. We're always trying to put ourselves in the best situation to be successful, not only just the individual players, but us as a team. So I would anticipate we'll continue to find a way and a role for him to be involved in what we do moving forward.
Steve, how much of the adjustments you make in the off week are schematic, like on defense? How much too high safety do you play versus bringing a guy down? How much four-man line versus three-man line, that kind of thing? Or even moving guys, you know, yeah, in and out of the lineup?
Yeah, you know, the one thing we're really trying to do early in the week this week, Chip, is let's dig into the things that we do really well. And it's easy to go fix the issues, but I think we first need to identify what are we doing really well, and how do we do more of what we're doing well, or a variation of what we're doing well, whether that's a scheme, you know, whether it's a style of a play call, whether it's a specific position that a player's in on certain plays. So we're really trying to dive into that. And then how do we emphasize that, build upon that, and then looking at things that maybe haven't been very good for us. You know, clearly, you know, everywhere you go, you know, like for myself, you know, we're running plays now that we're better at now than we were running those same plays at Alabama. And there's other plays that we were really good at in the last spot I was at that we're just not, it's not hitting the same force here. And that's okay. Everywhere you go, every team, every year, some things flow a little bit better in one way than the other. And so I think that's the beauty of the bye, is having a chance to reevaluate that, and making sure we're doing the things that we do well. But then also making sure that we're putting the players in the best position to do the things that they do well. And that's really what the bye is all about. That's what, especially the early part of the week during the bye, can be really advantageous, so that we can do some of the extended work here Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. One, to make sure we're reinforcing the things that we're doing well, cleaning up a couple of things that we know we're going to need to be better at so that we can be as complete of a team as we can. But then also making sure that the players are getting put in the position to have success, too, to do the things that they do well. On your
right, Roger. Seems like a little offensive shift, Big 12, kind of the year of the running back, putting up some big numbers. You're going to see the next two weeks some guys in 2 weeks. Is that something where you think you can make strides in improving in the, you know, something like run defense?
Yeah, I think so. You know, I the hard part for me, it's like a lot of phases in the game Saturday. You know, I thought we were playing pretty good run defense against a really good run offensive team. And that's what they did. We knew that coming in. And I thought we were productive stopping the run and limiting them in the explosive plays. The challenge for us as a team and trying to get the team to understand complementary football, that's what great teams do. They play really well together. Offense, defense, special teams, the field position, the vertical field position, taking advantage of opportunities. We get an interception, we get a short field, turning that into points, not putting our defense in uncompromising situations. You know, when we're backed up inside our own five, the idea is we got to go get two first downs so at minimum we can flip the field and not give them the short field. Our inability to do that Saturday showed up as well. So, yeah, we can stare at the run defense, but ultimately when you go three and out four consecutive drives, the same big guys for us have to get back out there and continue to try to stop the run. Ideally, yeah, we do it, and we have to work on that and clean that up. But I think holistically, the idea of complementary football is an area for us that I think we can improve upon and play the same style that we were playing in the first half, where we work really well together. And our inability to do that Saturday, I think, was probably the most glaring thing for me. We didn't work well together, offense, defense, and special teams.
Steve, will you do any Baylor install this week? And then secondly, what you've described, the days you're practicing, kind of what you guys want to accomplish, is that how you like to run bye weeks, or has that adjusted at all based off the last 2 weeks?
No, it's pretty consistent with what we do. We really try to hone in, okay, where are we as a program? What's the state of where we're at today? What are the things that we do well? What are the things that aren't so well? Are the things that aren't so well, are they worth it investing in for the next, you know, 6-7 weeks? Or are we really just going to keep focusing on the things that we do well? So that, all that's pretty common. We do, as a staff, dig into Baylor from a game plan standpoint, and we will sprinkle some of those things in throughout the practice. But the majority of the practice is making sure that we recapture our fundamentals and our techniques, because sometimes you get so scheme-oriented as the season goes on, and you start to lose some of those fundamentals and techniques that can help clean up the scheme. And so that's a big portion of us this week, of to dig back into more individual periods, more position-specific things, and not as much just team and scheme. We will still do it, but it's a little bit of a different shift than what we would do in a normal game week.
Coach, you hadn't shied away about, you know, wanting to compete for a championship this year, and you even talked about it last week. When you're sitting at 2-2, what do you tell your team as far as that big picture goal, or do you have to narrow your focus at this moment?
I think this. There's a lot of football left to be played. A lot of teams need to play one another. We have to take care of our business, and our business is the next game. And you know, we kind of have to get ourselves into the mindset of, you know, it's one step after another. It's not trying to just get to that game. And we miss the process of getting to that game. But there's a lot of football to be left. And, you know, the one thing that we can control is what we do. So that's really what the focus is on and has been on, but will continue to be on. And we'll see where the chips fall. You know, we'll see what happens with some of these games with people playing one another. You know, in the end, come Thanksgiving and we're playing right here, hopefully that game means something, giving us an opportunity to maybe get into that game. But until then, we got to focus on cleaning up some things, focusing on what we're good at this week, and then getting ready to play a really good Baylor team next week.
Hey, Steve, what's your thought process like from a creativity standpoint when you're trying to jumpstart an offense that might be struggling with 3-and-outs? Are there any specific players you're trying to target?
I think that varies week to week. Yeah, I've been doing this a long time. You know, I think every team, every identity of every team is different. You know, sometimes you're struggling as an offense and a couple of the guys that you know are your playmakers haven't really touched the ball. So, yeah, they become an emphasis to try to get them the ball to get you going. Sometimes you're struggling because maybe we're not blocking things very well up front, so you're trying to call some things that give your offensive line confidence to go make those blocks so that they can get going. Sometimes it's about the quarterback, and sometimes it's about the play caller of just finding your rhythm and getting your own rhythm back. So, you know, it's always, you know, there's always something for some reason why you're not going the way you want to go. And that as a coach is where you have to be adaptable to do the things necessary to put your team in the best position to have some success to get that momentum back. So, like I said, I've been doing it a long time. Been fortunate to have had a lot of success. Not every game has been perfect. It didn't score 50 points every time we went, but have historically found a way to make the necessary adjustments to be a good offensive football team kind of year in and year out.
With the bye week, I know you mentioned Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and you don't really get going for Baylor until next week. Does that allow you to try and rotate some of the younger guys into, you know, maybe first, second team reps to see how they hold up, and who are some of the guys who may not play on Saturdays but do well in the week?
Yeah, I think that's probably a fair assessment. You know, we've got some nicked up older players who have been playing a lot of ball that we definitely want to not shut down, but limit them some this week, and so that does create opportunity for some younger players. You know, one guy jumps out to me is Maurice Blackwell. He's a guy 4 weeks ago didn't play at all. Saturday started on 3 special teams for us and is really coming along with his development. But really across the board, you know, we're seeing development in a lot of players. We see it on the practice field. They may not be getting their opportunities in game, but that's why we try to pride ourselves on being a developmental program. We don't just work with the guys that play on Saturday. We work with everybody in our program so that they all can continue to get better, and whether they reap and we reap the benefits of that right now or in spring practice next year or next fall, time will tell. Every individual is different, but we don't neglect those guys. We're constantly trying to work with them on a daily basis.
Last one in the middle, Brian. Two-part question. First off, what did you think of the call on Ray and then the non-call when they buried Casey?
Yeah, I mean, they're tough calls, you know, to me. We sent them into the league. I haven't heard back what those are. You know, all we ever ask for is just call it consistently. right? And hey, if we're going to protect the quarterback, let's protect the quarterback, right? If we're going to not be handsy at DB, then let's not be handsy at DB. And so consistency is all we're looking for. So that was probably the only thing that was my frustration in the game on those two calls.
And then along those lines, the way that Casey came off the field and then literally ran back in, I mean, did you expect that? And now that Hudson has played a fifth game, do you look for ways to maybe get him in more?
Yeah, I mean, we're always trying to find a way and develop in Hud. And, I, you know, Hud was ready to go, jumped in there and did it. I wasn't surprised. I think Casey's a tough kid, and he's a competitor. And, you know, football is a physical sport, and he's not the first guy since the inception of the game to, you know, get dinged up and sit out a play and go back in. I don't think that that's uncommon. I felt like he's kind of earned that right coming off of the Oklahoma game when he injured his thumb and went back in and played good football for us. So we monitor a lot in the program, but Hud's going to get his opportunity. I've been saying it day one. We're going to need both these guys to compete at the highest level for us this fall, and Hud is doing the necessary things for him to keep developing his game so that when his number does get called, that he can perform at a high level. All right, you guys. Thank you. Have a good afternoon.
Longhorn.